You are listening to the Primitive Intelligence Podcast, episode 520, The Mystery of Oliphant. This is the final episode for season 5, main episode for season 5. I'm going to put together a couple small bonus episodes that will be pretty short, I'm guessing. As I take a break, I'm going to guess January. I'm going to take a break the entire month. And those small episodes will come out during January. And then I'll get back into season 6. It's been a 20 straight weeks of research and recording and trying to schedule time to get Rocco on the show or looking for guests. And it's been hectic. So I'm looking forward to a little bit of a break and then come back for season 6. Now I'm looking, as I'm recording, I'm looking at the episode art, and it's very Egyptian. There is a little bit of an Egyptian twist to this story, and when you hear the word Oliphant, the name Oliphant, you might not think Egyptian, but you'll see where I'm going with this when we get to the story. I hope everybody enjoyed the Christmas, had a safe and merry Christmas, and you're ready for the new year. I was going to originally do topics on predictions for 2024, but man, they got dark and I want to do something a little more fun. So that's what we're going to do. A fun episode to close out the season. I hope you guys enjoy it. Without any further ado, the Primitive Intelligence Podcast starts now. I first moved to Oliphant in the year 2000. And Oliphant is a little town in Pennsylvania. At one time, it was known as the Queen City. It is in proximity. It's fairly close to Scranton. But back in the day when it was known as the Queen City, it wasn't really connected to Scranton. If you were to look at a Google Maps image, like a satellite image of like the Scranton area and the Lackawanna River Valley where all these towns reside, they all kind of run into each other now. And back then, that wasn't the case. So Scranton was much smaller, but it was much busier. And then you had Dunmore, or for a while, Bucktown, as it was known, which was smaller but busier. And then you had other small towns like Oliphant, which were these jumping off points or access points into the bigger cities. And there was a lot of railroad money in this town. There was a lot of coal money in this town. There's still a railroad that goes through. It's only one set of tracks now. At one point in town, there were like 6 or 8 tracks. There was a very robust train station in town. And then on the opposite side of town, there was another railroad track that went straight back to like a meat packing plant that went along the river and then wound up connecting to the main railroad at the north end of town. Now, a lot of that's gone now. There's remnants of it, but a lot of that's gone. The town now is a typical northeast Pennsylvania town, like an old coal-era town that's kind of lost its way, but like a lot of the small towns around here, looking for ways to rebuild. So with the fact that Oliphant now is one of the few small towns in the state that still has like its old downtown area, they're trying to push that, and they're working to bring businesses back in and like clean up the fascias of the buildings and make them look nicer. And they're working on the sidewalks and putting in crosswalks and updating parking and getting rid of old buildings and, you know, opening parks and doing things like that. We've got a rail trail that comes right through town now, and that's a big part of their plan to, you know, bring more people in and kind of have this renaissance of Oliphant. But the mystery of Oliphant, as the story goes, or sometimes known as the secret of Oliphant, has a very mystical, almost occult opening to this city. And there's not a lot of information about the specifics, which is usually the case with these mysteries. So I'll tell you a little bit of what I know of the mystery of Oliphant. When I first moved here, almost immediately I found information about it. And I didn't quite know what to think. So I will explain it to you the way I remember finding it, and then we'll go over how it's kind of changed and some other information. The mystery of Oliphant kind of goes like this, that the town was founded by Freemasons and we'll just say occultists, and that there are designs and features of the town that were put in place deliberately. One of which is that there, well, at the time that there was a pyramid on the, let's see, that would be the east side of town. The other is that the main group of churches in just outside of downtown form the constellation of Orion. And then the other is that the original borders of the town, where when you looked at them from above, showed the Sphinx, were a representation of the Sphinx. Now, these are three things that are very physical that can be confirmed or denied pretty easily. And we'll look at all three of those. But there's also this mystical side of things. One of the stories I was reading about this said that there's a man-made aquifer under town in the downtown area. And I've never heard of this, and there's no evidence of it that I've seen. Is there evidence of it? No. There is an underground creek across the river, but that's not an Oliphant. That was like a small creek that they just kind of concreted and paved over and created almost like a underground river. And that comes out right by the border of Oliphant, but it's not in Oliphant itself. So apparently there's this man-made aquifer in the center of town. And there's also reportedly a portal somewhere in town where either UFOs or other things come in and out of, or possibly, and this is a very interesting connection, where Harry Houdini found a way to cross back over from death. And you may think that's an odd connection to make, but Harry Houdini does have some ties to this area, and according to some stories, did live in Oliphant at one point. There is the Harry Houdini Museum right down Main Ave in Scranton, so about 3 miles from Oliphant. So there is this connection with Houdini, this occultism, and these weird, the pyramid, the Sphinx, Orion, all these connections. And it's, none of it makes any sense. There's no rhyme or reason to a lot of the mystery, but it's continued for at least 20 years. Cause I've heard about it for 20 years now. We'll look at those three physical attributes of the town first and see what we can find. Now the pyramid. Now I remember what they were talking about with the pyramid. There was this weird structure, quotes, structure, on the west side, or on, I'm sorry, on the east side of town. And if you looked at it through the trees and everything, it did look like a pyramid. However, it wasn't a pyramid. It was what is known locally as a culm pile. So this was a heavily mined area for coal. And when the breakers used to run, they would all the excess, the coal, dirt and dust and everything else would get run up a ramp and then dropped. And we create these piles that look very much like a pyramid. And that's what this the pyramid of Oliphant was this pile of coal. It wasn't an actual pyramid. There is a pyramid in town, though, which is weird. I didn't realize it until I looked something up earlier. So the pyramid, not so much. Not the one that people worth thinking was the pyramid. Next, the shape of the town. So the idea is that the original shape of the town was in the shape of the Sphinx. And when you look, I pulled up Alephant on Google Maps. And when you just search a town, it will show you an outline of the town, of the border of the town. Now, obviously, it might not be 100% accurate, but it's pretty close. And the town has expanded since it was originally, since its original inception. So the shape isn't identical. But if you take the town and you look at it and you kind of level it off a little bit, because it kind of sits crooked on Google Maps, you know, to the human eye. So if you kind of level it and you look at the west side of town where it borders the Lackawanna River, there is kind of a Sphinx-like shape to the border. It's not exact. Don't think it's like this exact shape of the Sphinx, but there does look like there is a little bit of a face. And I'll screenshot it and I'll put it in the show notes. So if you're curious, you can see that. But it has almost like a little face, and it almost looks like where the paws come out of the Sphinx. And then the east side of the town is much more square. So it does have this Sphinx-ish shape to it. It's not exact, but I could see where they get that idea from. The weird part is the alignment of the churches. It's not an exact, like, one-to-one ratio layout of the constellation Orion. But having said that, there is a definite correlation between these churches. Now, maybe you could do this with any group of buildings that you wanted to, but the fact that it's these churches and one school that was owned by the church. So there's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven churches, and six churches in this church-owned school, that when you look at them, and if you create them as dots and you look at the shape of Orion, it does look suspiciously like Orion. It's kind of weird. Now, to add to the mystery of this, right in the middle on the belt of Orion is where Harry Houdini lived. If that is indeed true, and this is the house that he lived in, it is right next door to a building, a Jewish temple, that on the top of the temple is a pyramid. The steeple of what would be considered the steeple if it was a church, but the very top of the building has a pyramid on it. I looked it up in Google Maps and went to Street View and looked, and sure enough, there is a pyramid up there. So very interesting. It doesn't prove anything, but it's kind of cool to see. Now, the thing I did notice, though, is that I don't know when this even went in. It had to be while I was in Florida. But in the one quadrant of what would be Orion, there's a little park there now. And in the park, there's like a center spot. And I don't know if it's a fountain. Might be a little fountain in the middle. And then there's a walkway, like four walkways going into this little fountain. And it's not big. It's like maybe two lots wide. It's a very small park. But when you look at it from Google Maps and you align everything north-south, the walkways point the cardinal directions exactly, with one of them pointing right past, right in between two of the stars, or two of the churches that would be the stars of Orion's belt. And I think it actually goes right through the one. It's just odd. It has a lot to do with the way that the town is laid out, because the one walkway just goes right to the corner. But it's weird that that is going due west. And then the next one's going up is going north. So they are cardinal directions. They're not off at all. It's not like it's kind of close. It points directly north. It's really weird. Now that's just the physical things. So you've got this pyramid that people thought was the Culm pile, but turns out there is a pyramid on top of this building. You've got the shape of the town, which is roughly in the shape of the Sphinx, and these churches, these religious properties do indeed form the shape of Orion. Sometimes a couple of stories I saw said it's more the shape of a butterfly, which was somehow related to one of Harry Houdini's acts where he would like go into his straitjacket or something like that. And he kind of wriggle out. Like people said, it looked like him coming out of a cocoon, like a butterfly. And it's weird that where his residence is right in the middle of that butterfly. So is that where the portal would be? And because Houdini did say that if there was a way to come back from the dead, that he would find it. Is that where he'll come out? Is he there now? There's some parts of the story that are really, really, really odd. Now, I don't know the validity of some of this because it's just comments and forum posts on the internet. So you got to take a lot of this with a grain of salt. But there's two names that I've seen associated with how this started, this mystery. And one of them, the guy was, and maybe it was just, could be the same guy, went by the name John, but in some instances is listed by the name Jack. Yeah, and I don't know why, but sometimes Johns use the nickname Jack. And I don't know why that is. I don't know how that came to be. But so this could just be the same person, but either going by his actual name or maybe the nickname Jack. From what I understand, he was in the military and did do tests with what in the comments in this one post say. Now, this is from supposedly, I believe, his nephew. Now, I have no way of verifying any of this, so this could all be BS. I don't know. But this guy claiming to be his nephew says that he was just as confused by the story as anybody else and never really got any real explanations. But they found later after he passed away that in some of his diaries and letters and things like that, he talked about some of the things he did in the military, one of which was work with these drones back in the 40s or 50s. And that maybe this is where the idea of UFOs and portals and things like this came from. It's interesting, but there's that connection to military and possibly highly advanced technology, at least for the time, drones in the 40s. Like, I'm sure we had something like it. But is this where some of these stories came from? We will never actually know, because the gentleman has passed away. But some of the aspects of this mystery just really, they don't hit at all. There's no correlation to anything. And I did find this really bizarre post, and I don't know if it was from this John or Jack, or if it was someone else who just found it and was trying to create more of a mystery than there was. But it was this one post that was just like one complete run-on sentence. And it was really hard to read. So I took the post, I copied the text, I put it into ChatGTP, and I said, make a few coherent paragraphs out of this information. And I fed it to it, and it gave me a readout, something that was a little bit easier to read based off of that, all that information. And then just to make sure that the AI gave me correct information based off of what I gave it, I just kind of then went through and was able to search for certain phrases and pull out information from this very bizarre blog post. And one of the things that it talks about is numerology. If you take the address that Houdini lived at and you do the numerology on it, it has the same value as if you take God and you get the numerology, the value in numerology from that. Now, I don't know anything about numerology. This may be true. This may be false. I'm not sure. But one of the other things that was mentioned was about the name of the town. And this is where it kind of seemed like, okay, we're looking for something that's really kind of, it's a big reach to think that this is the case. So I'll read this right from the forum post. This was one great big run-on sentence, like I said, but we'll try and make some sense out of this. So it says, Oliphant, PA, the most mysterious town in world history. The town with an incredible hidden world that no one knew about. The secret of the pyramids and the UFOs. The definition of Oliphant, Ollie, O-L-Y, means high, lofty, separate, distinct, sublime, all knowledge, secret, as in Mount Olympus, the secret home of the gods. Font, F-A-N-T, means phantom, ghost, spirit, and illusion. Combined Ollie and Font, creating the name Oliphant, means the secrets and the mysteries of the gods. With a name like this, do you think that Oliphant is just an ordinary town? This is an incredible line of thought to take. I could find nothing to support that that's what these words mean, or that the word Oliphant is connected in any way to Greek. So originally, Oliphant, like I said, was known as Queen City. It was incorporated in 1877, but later the name was changed to Oliphant in honor of George Talbot Oliphant, the president of the Delaware and Hudson Canal Company. Now, there's no canal in Oliphant, but the main rail line that runs through Oliphant and through the Lackawanna Valley was once part of the Delaware and Hudson Railroad. You can still see, if you look at an aerial view of Oliphant, you can see where the railroad goes through, and you can see a large flat area. If you go back and look at old maps of town, that area was a gigantic switchyard. And we had it's still there. There's still a station there. This was a pretty major hub for the Oliphant, or for the Delaware and Hudson Railroad. And it makes sense that the town, if this was one of the main hubs, I'm not sure if Oliphant lived here at all, but the name was changed. Now you might think that's weird. And why would a town change its name? In this area, they did it a lot. The town of Dunmore was originally known as Bucktown, and they changed the name to Dunmore. I don't know the exact, if Rocco was here, he could tell you this exact story, but they changed the name to Dunmore to impress the Duke or an Earl of Dunmore in England to try to bring money into the town. That's why they changed the name to Dunmore. There was nothing else. There was no actual connection to anyone by the name of Dunmore or anything like that. They changed it just to bring money in. So for a town like Queen City to change to Oliphant actually makes sense in this area. And now the name Oliphant, and looking at there are some Greek connections to words that are now spelled the same way, Oliphant. But there's also Dutch and Anglo-Saxon connections to it, none of which match the meanings that this guy said, that Ollie means high and great and all this, and that Font means phantom. It's not, no, I found nothing about this. So what about this Harry Houdini connection? I can find no evidence anywhere that Houdini lived anywhere but New York City. I think he was born in Wisconsin, but in the early 1900s moved to New York City and stayed there until his death. I know he performed in Scranton. And I believe that's why the Houdini Museum is there, because he performed. I think that used to be to be completely honest, I've never been to the Houdini Museum. I don't know why we have a Houdini Museum in Scranton, Pennsylvania, other than the fact that we do see things like towns changing their names to try to bring in money. Maybe that's why. I don't know. I've never been there. If you've been to the Houdini Museum in Scranton, let me know. I'm not sure. But I could find no evidence that Houdini ever lived in Scranton. and zero evidence that he ever even set foot in Oliphant or Queen City. Maybe he did. There were a couple theaters here and in the area, several theaters. Scranton was a big town. Wilkes-Barre was a big town. So it's possible that he was here, but there's no evidence that he owned property in Oliphant or that he ever lived here, even as a renter. I can't, there's no information anywhere about Houdini. Now, could it, is it possible? I mean, sure, I guess. Maybe he had a place here and he didn't want to tell people. I have heard stories like that about other famous people in this town, but I'm sure if you go to any town, you hear stories about that as well. I heard a story about, and this came from a homeowner when I did cable, that the building I was working in was used to be a bar. And the guy who owned the bar knew Babe Ruth. And Babe Ruth would come by and visit and stop by his bar. And there was a sand lot across the street where kids would play. They play baseball. And he'd go over there and play baseball with these kids. And that one day he came in and signed a baseball and hid it somewhere in the building. And he never told his friend where it was. And now whether that's true or not, who knows? The guy only told me this after I was trying to run cable into the house and I kept on hitting these hidden compartments in the foundation, like just above the foundation in like the baseboards. I drill in and I start to push the cable and it wasn't coming out anywhere. And it turned out that there was these almost like the balloon construction they would use in these buildings where there was an air gap that went up between the outside shell wall and the inner wall. I was finding those in the basement. And the guy's eyes lit up and he told me the story about this baseball hidden somewhere in there. And I just jokingly said to the guy, well, if you do find it, I'm like, here's my information. I don't want anything for it. I don't want the ball. I just want to see it. It'd be really cool if you found it. And he's like, yeah, I'll let you know. And it's right near an elephant. So I worked in this area a lot. It was like, I don't know, a week later I was driving by and I mean, the house is on a dead end street. There's no way to get out. It was like at the very end of town. And I was driving by the main street that went the cross street, the main cross street that went by. I sat and looked down and he had a moving truck out there and he was loading stuff in it. So I don't know if the guy actually found the ball and he sold it and just made a ton of money and left. I have no idea. So there are stories like that in this area that because it was a major metropolitan area with Scranton, that there was a lot of famous people that came here. So is it possible that Houdini was here? Yes. Is it possible that he rented a place or stayed in a place here? It's possible. There's no record of it though. But so what about these portals that supposedly UFOs come out of? Well, maybe there's one above that little pyramid on top of the Jewish temple. Possible. Okay, sure. Well, we won't close our minds to that. But most people, I'm not sure how this got started, but most people will say that if they've, well, most people have heard this story, will say that the portal is above the Oliphant anchor. Now, let's talk about the Oliphant anchor. I found this information that I'm going to talk about right now on a website called burlingtonnews.net. And the webpage is oliphant.html. It looks like this was put up back in 2005. So I don't think it's been updated in a very long time. But this does have a pretty cool diagram of the constellation of Orion. It's really exaggerated in its shape. And then it has the layout of those churches, which is very, very close, very similar. There's also a picture of the house. Now, on this website, they say that it's owned by the people who own the Houdini Museum. In some stories, I've read that Houdini himself lived there. So this may be one of those things where the information just got changed along the way. So, okay, so this is the people who own the Houdini Museum makes a little more sense because there's no evidence of Houdini actually having lived here. There is also a picture of the anchor and the anchor's location. So the golden anchor, and it says the golden anchor entrance to Oliphant. So here's the problem with this. I know exactly where this anchor is. I can walk to it in 10 minutes from here. The anchor sits at the border of Dixon City and Peckville, not at the entrance to Oliphant, which, I mean, I guess technically is the entrance to Oliphant because, I don't know, 500 feet from there is the bridge over the Lackawanna into Oliphant. But it does not sit in Oliphant, and it has nothing to do with Oliphant. The anchor itself is from a ship called, it was like a sloop called the Wasp, and it was from the War of 1812. The ship was captained by Johnston Blakely. I'm not sure if he lived or was somehow related to the area of Peckville, but they, to honor him, they changed the name of this section of Peckville to Blakely, and the anchor is there to honor him. It has nothing to do with Oliphant. So some other information on this page that is pretty easily debunked. This guy, John Peruca, believes that the founders of Oliphant were influenced somehow by powers emanating from ancient Egypt and other world. That's how it's written. And here's how he explained that. The ancient Egyptians worshipped the seven stars that comprise the constellation Orion, and you've got the churches, so maybe. Peruca produced a map which showed the location of seven churches, and it's easy to find on Google Maps as well. And it does. They do roughly lay out to Orion. So the guy, John, or maybe this is Jack, could be, but was saying that this pile of culm was a pyramid. It wasn't. It was just a pile of rocks and stone and debris from coal mining. He also believed everything could be broken down to triangles. The base of any pyramid is comprised of two triangles. He says, do you know what the elevation of Oliphant is? And he points out that the elevation of Oliphant is 960 feet, which is exactly twice the height of the Great Pyramid of Giza. This is really easy information to find. The elevation of the Great Pyramid is 455 feet, making double the height, 910 feet, not 980 feet. And Oliphant sits at 930 feet, not 980. So none of those numbers match up. Not a single one of those numbers match up. And then it says, this may be true as we have an eyewitness on the video clip shown on this page, which, oh, okay, we'll get to that. we have an eyewitness shown this page that saw a UFO right over or near the anchor of Oliphant. Now, again, it's not the anchor of Oliphant. It's the anchor of the Wasp, which is symbolic, which is an honor to Captain Blakely for the town of Blakely. Peruca believes this to be the same anchor that the famous abductee Betty Andreessen talks about as something she saw during her abduction. She spoke of a great detail of a giant anchor that she saw along her heavenly journey. Her description matches the Oliphant anchor exactly. it's an anchor that was painted gold after it came off the ship. This is really, really stretches. Really, really stretches. Peruca also related the belief that Oliphant, the pyramid, the churches which align with the constellation of Orion, the anchor, and other facts are all an indication that Oliphant, by design of the ancient Egyptians, is some sort of portal to another dimension. He also pointed out that the outline of the map of Oliphant matches that of the great giant Sphinx. This was written by a reporter for a local newspaper. So, wow. So if you scroll down, I looked for this video clip, and I don't think it's here anymore. The pictures that are shown, like one is a strong electromagnetic field with movement inside with supercharged orbs, time and space distortions. This is just a camera that was moved. They're just light trails from a camera being moved. I'm shooting upwards from towards the top of the temple. In this photo, you may not see the strong electromagnetic field. if you're shooting up, it's the grill of a car. It's a Chevy symbol right there. Another picture, right? So near this, the temple and this pyramid, but these are clearly just light streaks from the camera being moved. I mean, it could be something like a firefly going by, but then like next to it is like this, drawing that says the secret of elephant, how God created us from pyramids of light. And then there's like a sphere with pyramids inside and spheres inside the pyramids and like Venn diagrams and quarks, circles, body. You do not die. You live forever. It says on the bottom. Then there's a picture of Bigfoot down at the bottom. I don't even know what that's about. So the mystery of elephant starts, if you don't look at it too deeply, starts with this kind of interesting premise that the town is shaped like the Sphinx, which it kind of is, and these churches kind of align with Orion or the butterfly, which they do. There may be some kind of tie to Houdini through the people who own the Houdini Museum, but there's no tie to Houdini himself. There's the weird park with the paths that face cardinal directions. Okay, all very cool. But then when you start looking at the reasoning behind it, and that elephant means the secret of the gods, which it clearly doesn't, and the portal over the portal, which is supposedly over an anchor, which has nothing to do with the town, and then the photos of light streaks, and it just falls apart quickly. A lot of the danger with things like this. So if you were just to read that and you really wanted to believe that this stuff was true, which I'm not saying it's necessarily not true, that the people who designed the town didn't take influences from ancient Egypt, but the river didn't. Lackawanna River surely didn't. It's a river. And the riverbed itself changes. I mean, the border is based off the average of the river. So yeah, I mean, it might have a Sphinx-like shape, but that's just the way the river's flowing. It's a stretch to say it's a Sphinx-like shape. But if you just read things like this, and he says, you know, the elevation of the town is double the height of the Great Pyramid, it's really easy to find that information, and it's none of those numbers match. Is it close? Yeah, I mean, it is. More than twice the height of the Great Pyramid, but it's not exact. Maybe somewhere in town, maybe there's a low spot in town somewhere, but no, it's not exactly double. It's a little more than double. Is it close enough for some people? Sure. But it's not like definites like that where someone's like, well, it's double the height of the pyramid. Well, that had better be exact. And it's not. So it's a fun story, but even looking at it today and trying to find as much information as I can, it's just a crazy story. So I hope you guys enjoyed the story of the mystery of elephant. It's really not that much of a mystery. If you don't look at the information, it can be a mystery. I think the real mystery is how people believe this, or how people allowed it to perpetuate in the way it did. It's really, it's weird because, I mean, I remember seeing that the pyramid, and it's been taken down, that column pile. I think somebody set a fire up there, and I mean, it's coal. So if it burns, it's going to really burn. So they leveled that, but it was just a pile of coal. I mean, as soon as I moved here and I saw it, like you could see it through the trees. And you look at it like, oh, that's weird. But if you're from the area, you've seen those before. How you would think that's a pyramid, I don't know. So many parts of the story don't have any connection. Like, I don't know how you go from the Greeks and the Masons in ancient Egypt and Houdini and aliens and... I don't know how you tie all that together to have it make sense. I don't know. But, I mean, it is a weird town. I'm not going to deny that. There's some weird people in this town. But so am I. So I fit right in. it's I think you go to any town, in any small town, you're gonna have people go, well, the people here are crazy. I think you're gonna find it. It's a fun story. It apparently has no basis in reality. So that's the mystery of Oliphant. Thank you guys for staying with me for the entirety of season 5. I know I was calling it fair game, but I mean, I think that was pretty obvious. So season 5 was a lot of fun, a lot of research, learned a lot of cool stuff, watched a lot of government hearings. It's been interesting. So I hope you guys really enjoyed it. I hope you're looking forward to season 6. It's going to be more of the same. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing right now. So hope you guys are looking forward to it. If you've got ideas, I do have a couple stories that people have sent me that I'm going to look into for season 6. If you've got anything you want to hear about, you want to hear what my take on it might be, let me know. I'm always open to suggestions, and I just find this stuff fun. That's going to do it for me for this episode and this season. Enjoy the rest of your year. I will see you in season 6. See ya.